T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
In 49 other states, football is just a game. But this is Wisconsin.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl. The Lombardi Trophy is coming home.
Wisconsin fans demand the best. The best analysis. The best interviews. The best coverage. And no one delivers like the Bill Michaels Huddle.
We have the Bill Michaels, the second to last one of the season. I can't believe it's coming to an end relatively soon, but we are broadcasting live at Maddie's Pub. And I tell you what, this place is fantastic. It's always a pleasure to come back here each and every year. We're here at Maddie's on College Avenue in New Berlin. So come on by and say hi till 8 o'clock tonight. Joining me, which almost at this point regulars now, but it's John Dodd from the Tom Pippins podcast. Is that what it is now?
Absolutely.
You're all over the place. You're doing stuff everywhere. And then also we have Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio. How you doing, Michael?
I'm good. I'm great.
I guess the first question is, it's taken a little while to put the entire staff together. They could be looking at coaches from other staffs that are still in the postseason. So, Mike, I'll start with you. Give me your thoughts on the hires so far and what in a short period of time, Matt LaFleur has done.
Well, let's see. He's got to hire an offensive line coach. Scott McCurley, a linebacker's coach, has been there since 2006. We just found out today that he's no longer with the team. I guess the most important hire that Matt LaFleur has made so far is they're going to retain Mike Pettine at defensive coordinator.
They got their coordinators in place.
Now they've got Nathaniel Hackett as the offensive coordinator. James Campen, though, was sat down and told we're going in a different direction. So, you know, Campy's been there for 15 years and a former center for the Packers from about 89 to 95, leaves, and he flies out to Cleveland last Saturday, and he gets picked up there by Freddie Kitchens, the new head coach there. Joe Witt, we talked about him on the other day on the Bill Michaels show. Joe Witt, a cornerback's coach, the guy who you really credit for bringing along two undrafted guys, Tremont Williams and Sam Shields, and performing at Super Bowl levels in Super Bowl 45 in 2010, he was fired. And so he just joined the Browns as well as their secondary coach guy, too. So that means that Mike Pettine, and that apparently that was not Pettine's decision. That came from upstairs. So it's pretty clear they're getting rid of McCarthy guys. Mm-hmm. And there's a few spots that are open. There's a Patrick Graham who's been a defensive coach, run game coach. And it looks like he might go to the Miami Dolphins, maybe as a defensive coordinator, if Brian Flores from the Patriots, the defensive guy there, gets a job. And just a footnote to that, Brian Flores has been working for Bill Belichick since 2004. He came in with Matt Patricia. Matt Patricia gets a head coaching job, leaves as defensive coordinator. And all year long, Belichick didn't give this guy the defensive coordinator title. I haven't figured that out. And all these network people have to keep calling him the defense coordinator de facto. It keeps having to say. And you go to the website, the team website, he's the linebackers coach, but they don't have a named defensive coordinator.
Maybe Bill didn't want to increase his pay.
Well, I guess that's it. But in the meantime, you know, he might be a new head coach. But I find that to be a little awkward. But whatever the case, that's what you'll be hearing when the Patriots play the Chiefs, you know, their de facto defensive coordinator.
You know, John, it's as much as we talk about the coaching staff, everybody's got their eyes on the offensive coordinator, whoever they hire as the quarterback's coach, the relationship between the quarterback's coach, the offensive coordinator, the head coach, and Aaron Rodgers. That seems to be the paramount relationship everybody's paying attention to. But there's some other holes on this team.
There's a lot of holes on the team. But I think, just to follow Mike, the West Coast offense is the continuity that you have is important, and Pettine on defense is important. So one of the things that Ron Wolfe always used to say is when he started in 92, they started from scratch, and it took them a year or two or three for the scouts to get on the same page with the coaches. What do you need in the West Coast offense? What do you need defensively? Now, I don't – it sounds like they've the continuity will be there. They've there's different trees of the West Coast. There's the Bill Walsh, Mike Holmgren tree. Then there's the Shanahan tree. And then there's the branch of the Paul Hackett, Schottenheimer tree where Mike McCarthy was on. So it's going to be interesting to see that Paul Hackett's son, who was hired as offensive coordinator, he's run the ball a lot. And I know there's a lot of speculation about that, but he's never had a quarterback who's as good as Aaron Rodgers. So I think anyone who's run the ball, that's fine. But I think they're going to be passing it a lot more. And Rodgers is going to be changing at the line anyway. So I don't know. I think so far I like the continuity. The draft is going to be very important. And they know, the scouts know exactly what type of a position is to draft for that the West Coast offense coaches want.
So, Bill, Matt LaFleur is coming in and saying, you know, in his interviews with Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst, in national interviews he's done this week, we're going to run the football.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in running the football. And he's, and the thing is, this guy learned from Mike Shanahan and his son Kyle Shanahan.
Right.
They spent time to, he got into the Texans. That was his first NFL gig. And then time with Sean McVay and Redskins and all that. So now if you've got Nathaniel Hackett as your offensive coordinator from the Jaguars, then you've got to focus on that run game. You've got to get a new offensive line coach. So far, he's talked to this Adam Stenovich, who's a guy I remember seeing out there during OTAs and minicamps, 2006, 2007, never made the roster. He's a practice squad guy. I think he tried for a couple of other teams. Then he got into coaching. He was in Michigan. He was a strength and conditioning coach there. And currently, he's been the assistant offensive line coach for the 49ers. Their offensive line coach is John Betton. Kyle Shanahan, the son of Mike, is the head coach of the 49ers. And so to me, that suggests they're going to go back to that Mike Shanahan cut blocking zone scheme. Now, the Packers have always kept parts of the zone scheme. You know, they don't block for holes. They double team. The running back follows the double team. Two guys on one, and that's where the hole's going to be, and that's part of that basic zone concept. But it sounds to me like that's what they're trying to do is he wants to bring in the Shanahan style of running the football. Matt LaFleur does, and so that's one of the guys that he's talked to. Another guy that might get considered is Jeff Blasco, who's been James Campen assistant in Green Bay the last couple of years, and Bakhtiari, and those guys say, you know, he's a good coach too. But That's a key hire right there. That's going to be really interesting to see what he does with offensive line, because ultimately that means who's going to continue the continuity of pass protection for Aaron Rodgers.
Well, the other thing to remember is who's going to be playing on the right side of the line.
And then roster.
I mean, that's the number thing that I keep talking about. I know I had Leroy Butler on today, and we got into this discussion about if you're going to go find something, what are you going to find first? You put $130 million in Aaron Rodgers. And the right side of your line, I mean, is as good as Bulaga can be when he's healthy. He hasn't been able to remain healthy. So you have to find, at the very least, depth. You got to find a guard. You heard what, when you were in New England, what Belichick was telling his guys, keep hitting the guards.
Yeah.
I don't want to use the language he used, right, but he kept saying, the guards, that's where you go. Gut the guards, you know, because they're going to give it up.
When they beat the Packers.
Yeah.
When they beat the Packers, that was the soft spot.
That's exactly right. And when you look at what Indianapolis did, they went out and got two rookies. They got that kid Quentin Nelson and Braden Smith. Both of those guys solidified that line, and all of a sudden Andrew Luck's now one of the best quarterbacks in the league again, one of the top four offenses, which that's another story we'll get into, but the top four offenses are playing the championship games this weekend. But all of a sudden he's able to stay upright. He's not getting a hell beat out of him anymore, and that offense begins to flow.
You know, and so people argue about, you know, do you really? You used a first-round pick on a guard? Well, then you see how the way that kid played, that Nelson played, you know,
yep,
flooring Jadeveon Clowney when they played the Texans a couple weeks ago. So, John, you're the guy that knows about value in the draft. I mean, if you've got the next Joe Thomas there in the first round, you take him.
How good was Quentin Nelson from Notre Dame? He was probably as good as Packer fans thought Tony Mandarich was going to be in 1989. That's how good he was.
Yeah.
No, and it's interesting, in this draft, it's not really good at the top for offensive tackles. It's solid, but not really good. I think you might have to maybe go through the strength of the draft, go defense in the draft, and then build through free agency.
Right.
In the offense, other the offensive needs, line.
Like on defense, pass rusher, et cetera.
If you can find a tackle in free agency, go defense heavy in the draft, maybe get a pass rusher in free agency, you could probably find a tackle that may not be a tackle in the National Football League, but maybe a hell of a guard. Remember when they had to basically knock down Jerry Jones from taking Johnny Manziel, and they picked up Zach Martin, and ever since then they've had no offensive line problems, short of when Zach Martin went down with an injury.
Right.
It's interesting. This year, you're chasing the Chicago Bears, and the Packers have a pick at 12. They have a pick around 30. It's 30 to 32 with New Orleans. They have a pick at 44 and at 76. So that's four picks before the Bears pick their first pick in the round three. So this is the time to catch them. We'll see. But it's a defensive draft, pass rush. The outside linebacker, I think we talked about this last time. I think they could take two offensive outside linebackers, two of them in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And just look at – all you had to do was look at that Alabama-Clemson game and just, whoa. It's like I was a kid in a candy store looking out. Look at that. The
right.
Scouts had to also – there's two or three guys from Clemson that could be available that would do wonders for the pass rush.
So Matt LaFleur interviewed a couple of guys for special teams coordinator earlier this week, but right now the focus is I got my offensive coordinator. Now we got to focus in on getting offensive line. And so he talked to Frank Pollock, who just is leaving the Bengals since Marv Lewis, quote, resigned in Cincinnati. This guy is 51 years old. He played for the 49ers, the Broncos, and then went back to the 49ers during the 90s. And he was one of those offensive line coaches with the Cowboys from about 2013 to 2017 when they had those big jumbo guys. He has spent the last year working for Marv Lewis and the Cincinnati Bengals, and he's highly regarded. And Jim Mastrowski reported that this afternoon, that Pollock has got a meeting coming to Green Bay. And that sounds like a pretty smart catch, a 51-year-old guy, former player, maybe a fresh voice that way.
Going to go take a quick break. We are broadcasting live here at Maddie's Bar and Grill in New Berlin. That's where you can find us, College Avenue. Come on by and say hi. John Dodd from the Tom Pippins Podcast is here. So is Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio. I'm Bill Michaels. We are brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light. They are the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. And tonight is the second to last one that you can get registered to win the big screen TV that we're giving away at the end of the year. So you come out tonight, you get some registration slips. Who knows? Maybe next week you're walking away with a big screen TV, compliments of ABC Audio Video. Chris and the staff over there going to have that thing in your home in time for the big game. I know it's a short period of time, but nevertheless, they'll get it done for you. Going to go and take a quick break. We got more coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
It is my pleasure to introduce Matt LaFleur as the 15th head coach of the Green Bay Packers in our 100th season. Matt.
There you have it. That was the introduction. Matt LaFleur, the next head coach of the Green Bay Packers. We are broadcasting live here at Maddie's Bar and Grill. We're here in New Berlin on College Avenue. If you want to come on by and say hi, we'd love to have you. We are brought to you by our good friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio here. Also, John Dodds, TomPippins.com podcast right there. You can find that as well. Is it P-I-P-I-N-E-S?
Yes.
Okay. P-I-P-I-N-E-S. TomPippins.com. .com, and that's the podcast there.
Can I tell you a quick story?
Sure.
Matt LaFleur, I mean, you just get named head coach of the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
39 years old. You know, you thought about this when you're a quarterback at Saginaw Valley State, and here you are in 15 years, you've reached the goal. Not only are you an NFL head coach, but you're the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, and you got Aaron Rodgers for a weapon. How about that? So 15 years ago, this winter, he's a grad assistant at Central Michigan for Brian Kelly. I wonder, was Brian Kelly Greg Jennings' coach? I'm trying to think if he was there before he went to Notre Dame. So anyway, Brian Kelly tells him and his buddy
Brian
Robert
Kelly's was at before he went to Notre Dame, he was at Cincinnati.
Yeah, but he was at Central Michigan.
Oh, before
okay?
that, yeah.
Yeah, it's like 15 years ago. So Matt LaFleur and his buddy Robert Saleh are coach graduate assistants, right? They're working for free, but at least they get on the football field and start learning coaching from Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly sends out like an invitation that he's going to have like a holiday party over at the house. So these two guys show up like, oh, this is pretty cool. Now, they were sharing an apartment where they had a table that they bought from Goodwill. No chairs. You know, it's an apartment with two beds, one table, maybe a TV. That's it. These guys are broke, right? They're just right out of college. They show up to Brian Kelly's house. And, yeah, here's the shovels guy. He asked these two assistants to come to shovel the driveway and help the party goers get up to his house. So, you know, like valet driving. Drop them off because they were having a big snowstorm.
Mm-hmm.
Drive back like it. They didn't actually get to the party. They're out there shoveling.
Shoveling.
And so these two guys said to themselves, we're never going to treat our guys this way. And someday we're going to make it to the NFL. So today, Matt LaFleur is the head coach of the Green Bay Packers and his buddy Robert, defensive coordinator for the 49ers.
And not shoveling Brian Kelly's
driveway
anymore.
They're not shoveling driveways anymore.
No, I wouldn't assume so. There's no doubt about it. 855-830-8648. If you would like to chime in, feel free to do so. Here's a question for you. Somebody asked me this. Now, I know I don't think first-year head coaches are eligible for this, but now that they've had a drastic change in Green Bay, Ted's no longer there, would you ever see the Green Bay Packers say on Hard Knocks?
I don't think so.
I mean, I know Mike McCarthy didn't want it, and I know Ted Thompson was definitely against it. But would we ever see the Green Bay Packers with a young staff on Hard Knocks?
You know, the more interesting question would be, that's a great question, but I'm wondering how they view the media, because I know that...
Oh, come on.
Well, I mean, from Mike Sherman to... They started getting... Brett Favre, 20 years ago, you could walk in the locker room and you could walk up to Brett Favre and talk to him. Then they kind of had the separate locker room that they kind of hid him away, and you could walk in the locker room and interview any defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, any assistant coach. And now it's very difficult to get an interview with a coach. It's not a you're up there all the time, Mike. Do you think
that? No, they changed it. They put them on a stage so they can get content for the team website. So to answer your question, I think Brian Gutekunst is in the same step as Ted Thompson in a lot of ways. So I don't think the general manager's in charge. It would be in favor of it. I certainly don't think Russ Ball would think it's a good idea because he's cloaked in secrecy like Ted. I mean, he loves that CIA stuff. Mark Murphy, probably not. I think Mark is kind of a guy like he's any Packers stories that the team has got, they're saving for their website. They're actually competing with us in the media for their own team stories because things have changed. Now they can be broadcasters too. We can all be broadcasters. Any of us on social media, we're all broadcasters. You know, you can put mm-hmm. something out there that's viral, and he's selling advertising time for that. So, you know, the main thing about Hard Knocks is it just seems to be so, what's the word? You know, you're giving away so many secrets, and sometimes it creates divisions and all that, and it seems to be a coach killer, right? I mean, Herm Edwards was with the Chiefs. He got fired. I mean, a lot of these guys get fired after they've been on there. Mike Smith with the Falcons, he got fired.
He got fired.
Yeah.
Jeff Fisher got fired.
Jeff Fisher, the Rams.
This past year, they were with Cleveland.
Jeff Fisher may have been fired because of the things that people
Hugh
saw.
Hugh Jackson got fired.
Yeah. So,
there's an aura about head coaches that I think you lose when you see them off camera, when you see them outside the podium.
Yeah, so I think Hard Knocks is a great show, and they do a good job with it, and there's a lot of things that they hold back and respect the team. But there were some of those episodes last year where Hugh Jackson is, you know, in the middle of trying to get this team ready, and he finds out that his mother dies. And I think he'd had a brother die just the month before, and it shows him at his desk crying and trying to gain composure before he's got to have a meeting with the GM and make some serious decisions, you know, about the team. And it shows, you know, the real life drama that these guys are in, because it's such a people business. The stakes are so high, the payoff is so great. The pay is tremendous as well, but it's a high. Whether you're on Hard Knocks or not, it seems like you're on live in reality TV every day.
I think the Rams were on Hard Knocks as part of the approval for moving from St. Louis to Los Angeles.
You're right.
They said, you can move, but by the way, you have to be on.
You're going
to
be on Hard
a year
knocks,
or two of Hard Knocks.
So the league likes to see it.
Whoa,
league wants it. Yeah. I can see the league saying, "Hey, if you're not going to go overseas, you're going to do Hard Knocks."
To the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
I think it'd be fantastic. I think it'd be fantastic. And
I think it would drive him crazy.
If there's ever an opportunity, it would be a new head coach like Matt LaFleur. It'd be an interesting story.
I think it would drive him crazy because they, you know, as much red China as they are up there trying to control all their own content. I mean, you know how it is.
Right.
We were talking about that today. It's you know, there's a title called media relations. Vice President of Media Relations or whatever title that a team gives a guy. And it's media relations, not a dictatorship of the content they're going to release. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, right.
And it's gotten kind of to that point for a lot of teams. But, you know, like what I was telling you, or saying earlier today, Mike, you were telling us the other day, you can go to the Super Bowl, you can walk the field.
I walk right up to the winning
walk
coach.
Walk right up to the coaches. How you doing?
Whatever want to. And the other thing, too, is that there's a sense from both teams in the week leading up to is that they're now at the mountaintop. And so guys that are guarded, they feel like the season, in a way, is almost over. But now they feel like, well, here I am. I'm at the Super Bowl, and, wow, look at – here's a lot of these network guys that, you know, I've only seen on TV. There they are 50 feet away from me, and they want to ask a question. And so players and assistant coaches and everybody say, this is my moment, and I want to tell my life story. And they start telling you stories that you've never heard before. And it's just I you know how frustrated I get when I get back to our house at 9 or 10 o'clock at night. It's like, I got 35 stories in 5 minutes to tell it, man.
Right.
There's so many good stories at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. And the amazing thing is it's the Super Bowl. And you're right, it's towards the end of the season. But as you travel, some teams let you do everything. And other teams feel it's not necessary. Now, you got a team like the L.A. Rams, they're letting you do everything.
Right.
And look where they're at. They're in an NFC championship game. It didn't cost them anything.
No.
You know what I mean? I just don't. Sometimes it's about the players actually just playing the game rather than everything that goes on behind the scenes. I think there's too much stock put into – I mean, I know Mike Holmgren used to have people monitoring the radios, you know, and monitoring other stations and networks and reading papers. But, you know, come on. Everything's out there in today's day and age anyway.
When the Packers played the Rams at the L.A. Coliseum this past fall, I went out there a day early, called the Rams about 2 weeks ahead of time, and said, hey, I want to talk to your tackle that's a former Badger, and I want to talk to Sam Shields because I covered him, you know, here in Green Bay. And can I get into McVay's press conference? Yeah, sure, no problem. So I get there early, and they gave me a PR person that showed me the whole way. Hey, here's where some food. Here's where you can plug in. You can use this as a desk if you like. No problem.
Right.
You know, let me know when you want to go back and talk to the guys. And then they take me back. Hey, Sam. And then Sam says, hey, man, what are you doing here?
Right.
You know, because he recognized me right away. I said, well, I'm here to talk to you, dude.
Right.
And, you know, I got a great 5-minute interview with him like that. And they love the publicity like that. And, you know, Green Bay's got their own peccadillos about that sort of stuff.
Well, when you're the big fish in a very, very small pond.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing I've ever said is, that's great. If that's the way you want to be, that's fine. Respect it. Someday, you're not going to be on top anymore.
Right.
And that's the day you're going to rue.
Right.
Because it's a far, far drop when people start saying,
right. You're
not that interesting anymore. We'll figure other things
to
do.
Well, it's a very competitive business, and that's why we were saying, too, when you're losing to the Arizona Cardinals at Lambeau Field and there's about 10 or 12,000 empty seats, no shows, and the people are there at the end of the third quarter are booing your team, booing your product, I don't care if you got a 30-year waiting list for season tickets or not and whether that money's in the bank.
Yeah.
That makes a guy like Mark Murphy nervous. Like, this thing could go away real fast, man.
Yeah.
Real fast. They had trouble selling tickets to playoff games a couple of years ago. Because the forecast was 5 above, and they're going to play the 49ers or the Cowboys, and people say, I'll stay home and watch it on TV.
Right.
They want those butts in the seats to spend money on beer and souvenirs and all that other good stuff.
Yep. Going to go and take a quick break. We're broadcasting live at Matty's Bar and Grill. We're here in New Berlin on College Avenue. If you want to come by, we are brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. More coming up right after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
No, he reports to me. It's the same way. That was a question. I mean, Matt can address it, but it's not an issue.
Welcome back. There you go. That is Mark Murphy just talking about the hierarchy, the chain of command, so to speak, for Matt LaFleur, the new head coach of the Green Bay Packers, the Bill Michaels Huddle. We are broadcasting live here at Matty's Bar and Grill. We're on College Avenue here in Hales Corners. Come on by and say hi. New Berlin, right on that edge there. If you want to swing by and find us for a little while, we're going to be here tonight until 8 o'clock, John Dodds from the TomPippinShow.com, TomPippinShow.com, joining us. Also, Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio here as well. So we talked a little bit about Hard Knocks. Do you think, Mike, I'll start with you because you cover this team. I mean, I know that Ted had this unbelievable net of no information wanted to get out. But do you think with everything that everybody does, a new age, guys that are young, enthusiastic, they want to talk, they've got all the energy. I remember when Mike McCarthy first got here. You know, short of Ted telling him no, Mike was the accessible guy. You know, Mike was kind of almost the guy you'd sit at the end of the bar with and BS some football with when he first got here. And then as time went on, then it got further and further and further into the bunker.
That happens to all of them. Happened to Mike Sherman, too.
Oh, Mike Sherman was far in the bunker. But Mike Sherman was the general manager at the time, too, and he knew the beginning of the end was near.
Yeah, it's just, you know, they get nervous. They get stressed out. They're looking over their shoulder. And the funny thing is, when the media, when administration, when even the fans sense that, it's already over, you know. That you know, you're now doing things to try and keep your job as opposed to doing the things that you think will help you get a winning team.
We heard that at the beginning of the year this year, that it was very jovial. You know, you heard Aaron Rodgers talking about Mike's playbook, Mike doing this, Mike doing that. And I'm thinking, okay, things are copacetic. And then you start to hear inside the walls of 1265 that there's some tenseness there.
Yeah.
You're starting to hear some rumors, you know, and I kind of thought, okay, here we go. This might not be the season that they hope for.
The Packers used to have a thing like on Tuesdays where the people was in the media relations staff, and this is actually probably a little bit pre-social media, where they would meet with Ted and say, hey, okay, we've got a request to do this interview with this network on this show. Or, you know, we were kind of thinking, hey, this is kind of a neat story. You know, our punter is into kayaking and he's took a bunch of kids or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Ted would sit at those promotional meetings, if you will, and say, okay, wait a minute. Now, why would we do that? I mean, the kids could get hurt in the kayak or we could be liable if the camera crew goes down with them. And Ted would shoot down just about every single thing. And something that's really changed is, you know, Lori Nickel has been a writer and a feature writer for the Journal Sentinel for many years. Lori would come up with stories where, you know, she would be in Greg Jennings' house, and you would see what Greg Jennings' house looks like, mm-hmm. and his wife and their babies, and talk about his life away and about his dad who was a preacher when he was growing up in Kalamazoo and all that. And you get to know these players off campus like that, all kinds of stories like that. Tyler Dunn did a tremendous story with Eddie Lacy. I think it was actually before Eddie went into his first training camp, and the story was Eddie Lacy's family, they lost their home in Katrina. And so ever since he was 13, he sort of had this chip on his shoulder that I got to be the man and step up and maybe play pro football someday so I can help take care of my family for all the things we lost in Katrina. Because otherwise, you know, his high school days just stunk. They lived in such bad conditions because of what they lost in Katrina. And so you get to know these players. When's the last time you saw a story like that? And it seems like the NFL in general, even though I know we feel like we're bombarded by these up-close and personal profiles, I'm here to tell you, they've cut those way back, and they've cut back the access. I don't know if it's because I think players, too, and their agents in general, all these people that are playing for these teams, they feel so much under the gun in the spotlight because now anybody can comment on Twitter or Facebook or other or Instagram on this stuff. They feel like they're a little bit more in danger, you know, a little less secure about their families, their protection. You know, they are wealthy people and those kinds of things. And so I think you're kind of getting coached up like, you know, just be the guy with the helmet on and don't let people into your private lives, which is sad. Because I think when you know more about a guy like Brett Favre's entire family, you end up pulling more for him on Sundays.
Could be one bad video away from losing your profession.
Well, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
Ask the running back from the
Kansas
Chiefs.
City Chiefs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hunt, you know?
Yeah.
Same thing.
Which,
although the Bears said the other day they might talk to him.
Yeah, well, they did. Apparently, Matt Nagy talked to him.
Really?
And that opened the door for all the speculation that could Matt Nagy, who coached him when he was in Kansas City, possibly be trying to bring him there. I mean, there's no doubt he can add something to their run game, but it's whether or not, as a McCaskey, you actually want to take on what everybody saw. And you know, there's no denying it. That's Ray Rice video type of stuff. You know, there's, you know, now down in Chicago, they're also arguing, too, that you've got, what is it, Javi Baez or Addison, who was it that ended up also getting getting suspended by Major League Baseball.
Was it Russell?
Was it Addison Russell? I think it was Addison
Russell. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's got some issues going on, but nobody saw that, you know. But if you go by the description of what was written, then it's just, well, he said, she said. But because we saw Kareem Hunt and what he did, well, the league is obviously going to suspend him for a lengthy period of time, but it's whether or not you're going to be willing to take a chance on that, not only on the field, and that he's never going to do something like that again.
So I would assume Brian Gutekunst, in step with Ted Thompson, would never consider a guy like Kareem Hunt after what they showed in that video when he's shoving and kicking a woman, you know, in a lobby. But, you know, a great point that you made there. Wait a minute. Matt Nagy worked with this guy.
Yeah.
And it's basically saying, I know this guy, and I know how dangerous he could make our backfield next year. That's just one more thing we could add to our arsenal.
Going to go ahead and take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll continue talking some Green Bay Packer football. John Dodds alongside from TomPippinShow.com. Also Mike Clements from NFL Sirius Radio here as well. We are brought to you by our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. We're here at Maddie's Bar and Grill here in New Berlin. Come on by and say hi. Right on College Avenue. Going to be here until 8 o'clock tonight. Also start getting in to the NFC and the AFC championship games coming up this week. And that's after the top of the hour. Stay tuned. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Huddle right after this.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Well, I have to tell another story. I think Matt sensed that the interview went well. And at the end of the interview, he said, Mark, what's your time frame? And I gave him some bullshit. Excuse me. But I was like, well, you know, I believe in hire slowly. We're going to move forward with all deliberate speed. And so I said, we'll get back to you. And then when they left, that's when we started saying, I liked him. Do you like him? We all liked him. So it was the very next day.
Welcome back. Those are the words of Mark Murphy talking about the hire of their new head coach, Matt LaFleur, and moving forward as they felt that he was the guy. So now the Green Bay Packers have their man in place. They have a defensive and offensive coordinator, Nathaniel Hackett and Mike Pettine. And now they got to fill in the rest of that staff and then fill in really the due diligence for filling in the rest of the roster. They do have some decisions to make this upcoming season, this upcoming offseason. But as you start to talk about, well, they're free agency, guys are going to be cut. We know guys are going to be cut. So some of the guys and the names that are out there right now, that's not necessarily the entire list of guys that could be available. If there's a guy right now that's on this roster that's either likely to be, or maybe they're coming up on the end of their deal and they could be cut, is there somebody in particular you'd like to see brought back? Is it Clay Matthews or a Randall Cobb a guy you want to see brought back, something like that?
I'd like to see Clay Matthews be brought back if it's under the right circumstance, say a $7 million deal with incentives or something. I think he might come back. You could play him at middle linebacker. I still think he's got enough in the tank, and he could. You're going to be drafting probably two outside linebackers in this great draft. Have him tutor them a little bit, I think. And, Mike, you might have even been at the locker, but he had said that he wanted to be back. His agent was talking to the Packers. During training camp, but they replayed that. He said something similar to that in November. He said, my kids like the schools. We like it here. And hearing a SoCal guy say that about Green Bay, I thought this guy's a chance to come back. And he was durable, at least. He played every game this past year, and that's been a big negative for him for hamstrings and knee injuries and thumbs.
Well, you know, I don't know how well fans know Clay Matthews. They just see the slow-mo replay of him blowing water in his hair and whipping his hair around, and, you know, everything seems to do with hair, right? Or being, you know, kind of funny in some commercials. He hasn't really done a lot of one-on-one interviews, but he's a great guy. And, you know, I just had more opportunities to just talk to him about other things off the field, like some of the commercials he's filmed with Aaron Rodgers and other stuff. And just, he's a positive force. He's a good guy to have in your locker room. You know, you guys can worry about how much money you're going to invest in him. Bill, I know you're going to talk about, gosh, you know, if there wasn't at the time where you're shaking your head and saying, how much has Clay Matthews lost in speed when he's got a jump on Mitchell Trubisky and Trubisky can run away from him, and, you know, just his advance to the backfield just was lost. You know, how can he actually be slower than Kyler Fackrell, who's, you know, kind of a silk back there? But they're so short at pass rush Reggie Gilbert, number 93, was kind of a disappointment, just didn't really show up. He had a couple of deflected passes. And I don't know if that's part of Pettine's defense. You know, some, you got to remember sometimes these coordinator, they just want pressure. They don't want sacks. They want you to get your hands up in the air in the passing lanes. They don't want you to get burned. They want you to keep the edge in case they've got a, you know, late draw or handoff, those kinds of things. But I'd like to see Clay Matthews back. In terms of Randall Cobb, again, model citizen. He was hurt so much again this year. He's been hurt so much the past few years. They've invested so much with these young rookie receivers. And here was the key point. It was about early November, and there was these frustrating losses to the Patriots and the Rams where they were this close. They felt like they were this close. And somebody asked Aaron Rodgers, you know, how much are you missing Geronimo Allison and all this? He goes, a lot. You
right.
know, I mean, here's a guy I've got to 2 or 3 years, you know, of time invested with. And then there's a quick question, and he said, could Allison play in the slot? He goes, absolutely. And he gave a bunch of examples. And when he said that, I thought, see, they don't need Cobb.
Right.
If Geronimo Allison comes back,
right.
Aaron feels good about him lining up in the slot.
You need another wideout, though. You know, you need somebody opposite Devontae. Even if Devontae's still your number one, you still need somebody else on the outside that's going to be opposite Devontae. That was supposed to be Geronimo.
Yeah.
Now, in the slot, he creates a little bit of a mismatch because of his size.
Yeah, and you know, what Aaron Rodgers is saying is you don't necessarily have to be a 5'10 speedster to play slot in the NFL.
Right.
You can be Geronimo Allison and still be just as effective.
My solution would be Jared Cook. Get Jared Cook back.
You know, Pete Doherty brought that up this week.
Yeah.
He's going to be a free agent.
Right.
You bring him back at 32? Well, he had a pretty good year for the Raiders again. He had 6 touchdowns and 60 catches or something like that. And you know me, Bill. Every time I watch the Raiders on TV, I start yelling because I just couldn't believe that they let that guy go and replaced him with Martellus Bennett. But, Jared Cook, 32 years old, 68 catches, averaged 13 yards per catch, 6 touchdowns this past year on a crappy Oakland Raiders team.
Yeah, that would be a guy who what kind of a contract would you give him? 3 years and make the third year that if – it was friendly enough to where if you didn't want to keep him around, you could cut him loose, keep him for a couple of years. You know,
right.
I mean,
right.
And if he adds something to, who knows? You go, you know, obviously you got Jimmy Graham that you're probably going to hang on to, but which would be the odd man out? Lance Kendricks or Mercedes Lewis?
I guess they can't afford to take the salary cap hit if they parted ways with Jimmy Graham. Lance Kendricks, great guy that worked out with David Bakhtiari, Clay Matthews, and Aaron Rodgers in the offseason, that program in Thousand Oaks that those guys have been working on. That's how they got to know him. That's how they brought him in, along with Martellus Bennett. But how many key drops has Lance Kendricks had? I mean,
right.
How much more patience can you have?
855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free to do it now. Going back, we only got a couple minutes here, but going back to that tight end position, Jimmy Graham. Was it the injury to the knee, or is Jimmy Graham just not Jimmy Graham anymore? John?
He's not Jimmy Graham anymore. I think the reason why they were able to get him was he's a declining player, and he couldn't practice. The unfortunate thing was that Once the season started.
Because he looked great during training camp. He looked almost like, you know, Jordy Nelson out there with some of the catches he was making. But something happened to that knee injury, or it was a reoccurring thing from years past, and it was all downhill after that.
Jared Cook made that unbelievable catch at Dallas, and then A-Rod said in the post-game press conference how they need to get him back, and he talked him up, and unfortunately his agent took that to mean we can get $8 million out of Ted Thompson, and Ted Thompson then pivoted over to Martellus Bennett and then to Kendricks, and then which is unfortunate because then Cook ended up signing with Oakland for about the same money that Martellus Bennett received from the Packers.
And Jared Cook said on Twitter, the Packers never made me an offer. That's what he said. After he had signed with the Raiders, thank you, Packer Nation. You know, don't understand. Green Bay never made us an offer.
After $8.5 million offer was given by his agent to Ted Thompson when he stopped coughing, he signed Martellus Bennett.
Yeah.
What did he end up signing for out in Oakland? Nine? Was it nine?
No, I think it was close to 6.8 or something.
Oh, less than that? Okay.
Yeah. It was very close to Bennett.
Was it three for 21, I thought? $3 for $21 million?
Something like that. Yeah. Now he's at the end of the deal, and who knows what you got left. I mean, as far as Mercedes Lewis, he's making, 2.1 is what he ended up making?
Right.
We don't think he's coming back.
Jimmy
we?
Graham, his cap hit would be $5.9 million.
But it would would free up about $4.5 million,
right,
if they needed to. So the Packers aren't into dead money. That's the Ted Thompson legacy.
Right.
They just don't have dead money. But
and Russ Ball now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would free up about $5 million.
Yep.
$4.8 million, something like that, if you cut loose with Jimmy Graham. You went after Jared Cook. That money you just flip over if he's still worth $6 million.
Well, and the other thing you could do is you could, if you cut him after June 1st, you can push that into the next year a little bit. So you can, there's some flexibility there.
Right.
It's still going to be the same hit, but you can spread it over a different different year.
We'll see what Matt LaFleur thinks of Robert Tonyan.
Well, that's the other thing. People are really high on Tonyan. So Tonyan, Mercedes Lewis, Tonyan, and Lance Kendricks, and then a guy like Jairus Cook, and you know, who knows before it's all said and done. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to start to take a look ahead. We're going to get into the NFC and the AFC Championship weekend, Super Bowl matchups, and all that kind of good stuff. We are broadcasting live here at Matty's Bar and Grill. We're here in New Berlin. If you want to come over and say hi, it's on College Avenue. We're here until 8 o'clock tonight. John Dodds from TomPippinShow.com. He is here. Mike Clements from NFL Serious Radio is here as well. Stay tuned. We are brought to you by Bud Light. Another hour of the Bill Michaels Huddle coming up right after this.
Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.